Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And if you're like me, if you are an author or other type of creative, it is very difficult to be creative when you're not comfortable in your own surroundings. I know in my own case, I have a tendency to get up and want to do any sort of cleaning to my office while I'm trying to write, or trying to edit a podcast episode, or trying to edit an audiobook, whatever I'm working on. I need to have a clean environment. Things need to get picked up. Things need to get put away. Things need to get in their place, whatever place that winds up being. And once I am comfortable in my own surroundings, then I feel like I can dive into what I need to finish. And so thankfully, we have people like Amy Barrickman, who is my guest this week, because Amy, for over 15 years, has been an interior designer. And she is someone who has no problem at all with sharing her own tips and allowing people the opportunity to kind of take their area, their surroundings, and make it as perfect for them as humanly possible. Back in 2019, she was given an opportunity to offer one design tip a day for a month on TikTok. And it became such a hit that inspired her to eventually come out with what we now have available to us on paperback, in hardcover, and in ebook. And that is the book called The Living Room Design Formula. She's here to tell us all about that, as well as her history in interior design. I am very interested to hear all about this, and I know you are too. So it is my pleasure to introduce my guest this week, Amy Barrickman. Amy, how are you?
Hi, George. I am so great and so happy to be here and really honored to be talking about the creative journey with you.
And thank you so much for being here. This is another PodMat success story. And
it is an amazing service.
It really is. And there are so many people that really need to take advantage of this, because Alex has put together a terrific site that allows guests, prospective guests, and shows to link up in a way that they may not have in the past. And there are so many different people that I've connected with as a result of finding each other on PodMatch. And Amy, you are definitely one of them. So yes, Alex, we got another PodMatch success story on our hands. And I am not being paid to say that. This is genuine. This is from the heart. I have been a user of this site for several years now, and it's brought me nothing but joy. So I agree.
It's exposed me to podcasts that I wouldn't have necessarily found on my own. And now I love to listen to.
And it's created a really great avenue for other shows to really get to become known. Because
Absolutely.
If you have that right sort of guest that's on there, then who knows what can wind up coming from that. And so I am just really excited about always finding people on PodMatch. Just matched a few of them right before our conversation started. So very exciting times. Before we dive into your history in interior design, because I'm really fascinated to hear about how everything really got going for you. You got something real big going for you now, and that is the book that has just come out, The Living Room Design Formula. Tell us a little bit about this.
A Living Room Design Formula. It's funny. I started in design about 15 years ago, and I realized pretty early on there's a gap in the market. There are a lot of people who really desire the look of a professionally finished space, but for whatever reason, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's not, they don't want to hire a professional designer. And it feels like if you don't have a professional designer, it feels out of reach in a lot of ways. over the years, I started writing down little things. These are my check and balances to make sure this fits, or this is what I do. And I have a whole process I was going through almost without realizing it that I started to put together. And I thought, what if I could give this a really simple step-by-step formula so that anyone could go in and could create their own space? So that's how I came up with the Living Room Design Formula, my new book, which I love.
Isn't that the best feeling in the world to be able to hold that book once?
It is totally like having a baby.
Yeah.
I mean,
I personally can't attest to that, but
even like the ups and downs, like you're like, oh, I'm going to write a book. Yay. And then you're like, oh no, I'm writing a book. What is my life going to be like?
There's no turning back.
And you're there.
You know, I said at the end of part two of my YA sci-fi trilogy to be concluded in Greater Glory, part three in the Excelsior Journey. And now I'm just like, so now I got to write it, huh? Okay. And just chipping away at it, trying to make some sense of it and trying to fool my mind into convincing itself that no, it has not actually written the story. I actually have to put it down into words on the screen. So it's
right. You need to get in that flow.
Mm-hmm.
We all are affected by the spaces we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Our feelings change based on our surroundings.
Yes.
So everyone should give themselves the best setup they can. And that is not the same for everyone. In fact, it's not the same for anyone. In my opinion, every space is totally different. But to get in that flow for work, or even just to get in the flow of being with your family and being comfortable, you really need to set yourself up for success. So that's kind of where my two worlds have met, where I get to do some of the creative stuff that I love to do, because I've always loved to write. I was an actress growing up. I love all that. And then, of course, design is creative too. But putting that together has been like a magical moment for me.
And just like finding that niche, finding that spot where you are fully comfortable in what you're doing. And all of a sudden realizing, oh, this is it. This is the path I need to be on.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing how everything just kind of flows. It's almost like you've been going against the current the whole time. And now all of a sudden you just kind of let go and let it kind of lead you to where you need to be. And here you are.
And here I am. I hope that I can give a lot of information in the Living Room Design Formula and today, but just in general, I want everyone to know that they have the ability to put together a space that feels good to them and puts them in that flow.
And that's so essential for any sort of creative. Because you need that clear mind. You need that open mind. And a big part of that is a relaxed mind.
Yes.
And if you're in a place that you're not comfortable in, you're not going to be relaxed. I don't care what kind of writing you do.
I agree.
I don't care what kind of creative outlet you have. You need to be relaxed. You need to be open to whatever experience is there.
And I do think creatives are more affected by their surroundings than others. I don't have any scientific data to back that up, but
I will attest to it, though. Whatever data winds up coming of it, I will definitely attest to it.
Yeah, it just is, because we, as creatives, we're all about feeling, whether it's what we're feeling, what we put on the page or the music or whatever it is, we're all about feeling. There's so many people living in spaces that are like 75% complete, which I totally get. We all get it. You move to a place, life happens, and you're like, great, I've got some sofa, it's working. Mm-hmm. But give yourself that ability to get to that. I'm not even going to say 100, because I don't know that any room ever is 100. It's like, no room is ever finished, but let's get to 97, right? Like, let's get really close so that you feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just relaxed. And you're not looking at something like, oh, baseboards, they still have to go over there.
Right, or oh, that sofa just doesn't quite fit right. I mean, these are the things that people call me in for.
Yeah.
And there is a system you can use to really go step by step, get there. And it doesn't have to be this huge commitment of your time or even money.
Yeah. That's something that a lot of people really need to remember. It doesn't just have to be good enough. It can be a little bit better. You don't always have to just get by. You can actually be in a place that works. Because like, just thinking back to the house that we used to live in, my father-in-law and my wife, they put together an amazing space for me to do my audiobook work. And it was a wonderful experience. And it was really cool to be able to set it up. But I remember when I showed the pictures of it, everyone was just like, it looks so dark. So the lighting worked for what I needed to do. But if I was taking pictures of it, then yeah, it did look dark. It was functional, perfectly functional. Yeah. And the work that came out of it, I was very proud of, still am. But when I had the opportunity to move into this place, into this room, and claim this room as my office, so that way I can turn this walk-in closet into my recording studio, now I'm happy with it. It's gone through many different iterations, but now I can say I am happy with this studio. I like the fact that it's a place that I can come in and be comfortable and look around and just like, this is how I want it. It looks good. It's clean. It's got all the different things that I want. The sound quality is great. Let's do this. Let's get to work and start working on whatever audiobook I'm doing.
You know what I love about that story is the very first place I start in the Living Room Design Formula is telling my reader, I want you to really think about how you use the space. We focus on the living room only. There are definitely things that translate to other rooms, but I did that on purpose. Because when you work on one room at a time, you really gain confidence. You really give yourself the ability to hone this skill. It's not overwhelming, and you're going to get that one room looking great and feel good about it. Mm-hmm. But I asked people to start thinking about, how do I use the space? And how do other people use the space too? And it's really important. Mm-hmm. Your wife and your father-in-law, they sound like amazing people. I mean, who are these people that are setting up rooms for other people? It sounds like they did a great job.
I would never denigrate like anything that they did. What they did was wonderful. And, you know, just setting up like electric in there and everything, getting everything all set up the way that it needed to be. Like it was perfect. And then getting to fill all the walls with the acoustic foam and getting it to set up the way that I needed it to be. Like it all worked. It all worked very, very well. And it was,
but now you have what works. You've discovered, and thanks to their help, because you had that for there. But now in this space, you've discovered exactly what works for you. And that's the same thing for your living room. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't put the same rug. I could have clients with two kids and a dog and two kids and a dog, two different clients. I would put totally different rugs mm-hmm. in their houses based on the person. I have some clients I just know they need a really stain resistant rug. Like yeah. I just know, I've gotten to know them. I know how they live. And I have other clients that might have the same family setup. And I'm like, they can totally do it. A mm-hmm. white rug, or what, maybe not quite white, but you get what I'm saying. It's all about making those choices for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the basic functional things, but sometimes it's just, what's the poster on the wall behind you? Where does the potted plant go? What makes you smile when you come down in the morning and make your coffee? That is the most important part of design.
Yeah. I mean, and a big reason why the other room needed to be what it was, and reason why people were just like, oh my God, it seems so dark and it's so constrained and everything. It was just because based on the way that it was set up, it needed to be a certain way. And like I said, fully functional. It was comfortable. I had a great time down there. I put a lot of work into the different audiobooks that I did. Very proud of the work that I did. This is just basically like, while that space was perfectly good for others, now the space that I'm in is perfectly good for others and for me.
Yeah.
So I got to kind of...
You've grown.
Yeah.
Grown into it. It's awesome. And really, the way that something makes us feel is the most important. But since we're creatives, since you and I and the people listening are taking a step back and looking from a bird's eye view, and whether it's your living room or your bedroom or your studio space, really taking a look at those measurements and making sure that you're giving yourself the right space to breathe. So I have a big section in the book about laying out your furniture, because if you buy the wrong size furniture, you really are in a pickle. It doesn't matter how good you are creatively or your designer is creatively. you really are in a pickle if it's not the right size. So I know as a creative myself, my instinct as I was going through design school is just to jump in and like, this sofa looks like it's going to be great. And I saw it in the store and it feels right. And let's do it. Well, that's when I have to bring my creative brain back, take a few steps, and I have to actually sit there and draw it out on paper and look to make sure everything fits neatly. And that is like a 5 or 10 minute exercise, maybe 30 if you really have a big space, that is pays in spades. So oh, yeah. Yep. My advice is, even though you have that creative juice, don't lose it.
Yeah.
Don't feel hesitant about your creative impulses, but just make sure you're going through some checks and balances to know that the choices you're making don't just sing to your heart, but also work functionally.
Absolutely. And I know that whenever my wife is really digging into a specific project, she is very meticulous about making sure that everything would be the way that she wants it to be. And so she does that. She sketches it out. And it will work a good spot on things. And so I'll be very hesitant to want to make any sort of changes. But somehow, I'm still trying to figure out how, somehow, whenever we make those changes, it always works out. And it's one of those things. And maybe it's just a part of my brain that just needs to accept the fact that when those ideas come, I just got to run with it. But that those are the things that definitely help. Just like you said, sketching it out,
right,
figuring out if it works well for you, then that's going to pay off in so many different ways. And another factor that too many people don't think about is it going to fit in the door?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah. That I would be lying if I said I never had that problem professionally, because you measure, of course, you measure, but you're not always thinking about, maybe even if you did think to measure the door, which a lot of people don't, because why would you? You're in the space. It's not, you're not thinking that, but also something to really be aware of, doors. Also think about stairwells. This is really common with headboards. If you are putting a king bed somewhere, a lot of stairwells can't make a turn. So you need a headboard that comes in pieces or, you know, is small enough that you can make that turn. So yes, it's all about the checks and balances, whether it's when you're mapping your space so that you can buy furniture, ordering the furniture. We're also going to do a check and balance there. I recommend that everyone, even though we've done all this work mapping, we're still going to take some blue tape and put it on the ground, and we're going to make sure that it feels right and feels good. And then even when we get to accessories, we're going to do some checks and balances. We're going to make sure that we have some accessories we love, but we're also going to make sure that we have a base of accessories that will make the room flow and make everything feel cohesive. So it's all about those checks and balances every step of the way.
Kind of reminds me of a scene in a movie that I found to be very underrated. It's called The Founder, and it's with Michael Keaton. Yeah. He plays Ray Kroc, the man who turned McDonald's into a franchise.
I remember that and love that movie.
So there is a wonderful sequence in there where the McDonald brothers are talking about how they came up with the style that works for them, the whole kitchen setup that they have, and everything has a purpose. And everything flows in a way so that way there are no mistakes. It goes from getting the burgers on the stove, on the griddle, getting over to the condiment station and then getting the fries ready and just like getting everything flowing in a certain way. Bring in people to basically like pretend to be the employees. They brought in their staff to pretend to make burgers and fries and shakes and everything while they are standing in these chalk outlines of where everything was supposed to be. And they had to clear them and then clean off the pavement and then do it all over again.
Do it again.
And just keep doing it over and over again until they got it right. And that's very much what you're talking about.
When I go with a client, if we're working on a bathroom renovation, we're walking through a beautiful showroom, there are cabinets, there are bathtubs, showers, and you know, they want a bathtub. I'm like, get in. And they're like, what? There are people? I'm like, you've got to get in. You'd rather get in now than when it's installed. I make them sit on the toilets. I know it's embarrassing, but I mean, look, you make your mistakes early.
And creatives to think about, because so many of them don't want to rewrite. And I'm just like, do you want the comments to be on the margins, or do you want them to be in the Amazon reviews?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in this place.
I can really relate to all those writers out there who didn't want to rewrite. There were definitely times where I was like, oh, can you send it to formatting and then I'll look at it again? Because it's your baby and you care so much that when you start to get into it, it feels like you're going to be dismantling this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But I do try to remind myself, whether it's in design or when I was writing this book, and I hope to write a few more of them, I try to remind myself, okay, the hard work here is done. You've already done the hard work. So what we're doing now is just like an easy little task. So I just try to remind myself that. And like I said, same thing in design. With you had mentioned your wife, she goes back and she's really thinking through all these things. You're kind of like, why? We kind of have a good thing going here. Why are you backtracking?
Oh, yeah.
Because it feels, as creatives, we feel like, oh, no, I'm going to have to rework every single piece of this.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm in therapy now. I think you just unlocked something there, because that is it. It's the rewriting.
It's
the rewriting. That's exactly what she's doing.
Yeah, she's rewriting and you're resistant because you love it rewriting. And you've been working really hard on it. And I'm with you. I feel the same way. But then just I have to remind myself, in a living room design or in a book, it's only a little piece. You do not have to rework this entire thing. It's because you feel so attached to it, I think.
But whatever the case, I mean, I feel like I just had a mental breakthrough.
I'm thrilled about that.
Yes.
You know, I tell my clients when I work with couples, which is a lot of the time, I always joke with them, you know, I do marriage counseling too.
Oh, my.
Because anyone who's ever decorated a space with their partner understands that it is a stressful experience. And obviously, I'm not a marriage counselor, but that's my joke, because there's always that moment. And actually, in my book, The Living Room Design Formula, I start out by saying, look, you, the person reading this book, you're in charge. Mm-hmm. It really, you're in charge. You are. I just had some.
I wish all of you could see that all of a sudden there was a fireworks display right behind Amy. And it was very much like this incredible moment. I'm not sure where it came from, but it's like AI listening and just adapting to it. It was just like,
totally,
oh, something big. Let's go ahead and celebrate.
It's like we had a breakthrough moment. Yay.
Yes.
So if you're working on a space at home, first of all, focus on one space. That's my first piece of advice. Second of all, put yourself in charge. It doesn't mean you can't listen to your partner or your children or, you know, roommate or whoever it is. But if you're the one doing the work, you're in charge. And your roommate or partner, whoever, they might design a space differently than you and they might do a really good job. But it doesn't matter, because you're designing your space. It could be done 100 ways. They could all look good. Someone has to be in charge. And the person reading the book is who I say gets to be in charge.
There you go. I love that. And so all of this really had to start somewhere. So what I love to hear about is what I call the road to creativity. And it's that moment when you just decide that, hey, this is actually what I need to do. And you start getting onto the highway, basically, and you merge in with traffic, and all of a sudden you're going exactly where you need to be, and you're feeling good about it, you're feeling comfortable about it, and you're feeling everything moving the way that it should. So you said before that you were an actress.
Oh. Yeah, I've been on such a road. Sure. I've been such a windy road, George. Mm-hmm. My whole life I wanted. Now, I did always love writing from a young age, but I just desperately wanted to be an actress. Keyword being desperate. So I moved to New York after college and I started pursuing that goal, waiting tables. I realized, I don't like this lifestyle. This is not what I want for life. So I got into a career. I was like, okay, well, what can I do to make some money? And I started in real estate. I eventually got a job as a pharmaceutical sales rep. That was a really sweet gig. I had a company car. They were paying for, you know, just, I was going out to dinner, bringing lunch. It was very good job. And I did pretty well at it. But my moment was when I realized that despite the fact that I had this great job with all these perks, I really didn't like it. I liked the people I was working with, but I really didn't like what I was doing.
Yeah.
For me, I would love to tell you that it was like this light bulb moment. I was like, oh, I'm just going to follow and do something creative. It was, I had no choice. I had to get out of this kind of corporate sales world. And I was very interested. I was obviously interested in acting, but I also was really interested in design. We had just bought our first home. So I went back to school. I started studying design, and it was like the universe wouldn't let me go any other direction. It all came together. Because I think people listening can relate to this struggle, and I want them to know, like, it came full circle, and I'm so happy for where I am. But there were many months and years where it felt like a real struggle, scraping my way just to create this work as an interior designer, coming from a really big salary and a nice cushy position. So it's not that it was easy, but it felt like I had no other choice. It felt like I had to do it. And I'm now so glad I did, because that has brought me to, I now appear on QVC as one of the design experts. So I kind of get that on camera time. And another lifelong goal of mine has always been to write a book. I have some novels I've started along the way that are still just living there. Okay. But I realize there's this real need for people who want to work. They want to make their homes look professionally designed. It's like, I have something that I can really offer here as a friend would, but in a structured way.
Oh, that's great.
So I hope that answers the question.
It does. It does very much. And in fact, it opens itself up to one thing that I was really curious about is that experience on QVC. So how did that all of a sudden find its way to getting you on camera?
It is just so funny the way life takes us. I was working as an interior designer, and at the time I'd really built up the firm. I had several designers working with me, and it had really become a pretty somewhat well-known in our area. But I was struggling a little bit with being the owner of the business. You know, I wanted to do the design. At the same time, an email came across my desk saying, we're looking for interior designers in the Philadelphia area who also have on-camera experience. And I was like, ding, ding, ding.
There you go.
So I sent them a video and they called immediately. I went in for an audition, and they were looking for a garden design expert. So I, even though I have done garden design, it's not my primary, but I got hired, and I get to have this really fun experience where I promote certain products and I get to kind of go on when they need, but it's not like a full-time gig. So I still can run my design firm, and I was able to write the book. But I just love that feeling of being in the studio and talking, and everything is happy and fun, and it is a great place to be. I love it at QVC.
That's fabulous. And what you were saying earlier kind of reminded me about what Stan Lee once said when he was promoted from editor over at Marvel Comics to the publisher. And he was saying that it was kind of a drag to be the publisher because he wanted to be in the trenches. He wanted to be writing. He wanted to be creating and editing and taking part in the development of all the different comics that were being made. And so I definitely get what you mean when it comes to, you know, running your own business. When you have other people that are working on it with you and you're the owner of the whole thing, then all of a sudden your responsibilities change. And now all of a sudden it's about sustaining the business instead of doing the work.
Exactly. And caring about those people who are working for you and being the fixer when something's going wrong. I felt like that became my real job. Owner / fixer. So what's interesting is this whole QVC thing happened in January of 2020. Was my first thing, my first time on air. And then, as we all know, the world
2020
shut down
happened
soon after.
Yeah.
So it was a really unique way that it all happened, because that year, instead of going into the studio all the time, they would have the experts call in, which mm-hmm. gave me this incredible opportunity to really practice what I was doing without being like in front of the cameras and nervous and with the host and all that thing. So I was able to really build that skill. And Ooh. Also I was able to do it in a way that allowed me to still work on my business. But I scaled back a lot in 2020 when we weren't going into people's homes as much. I was like, you know what? Maybe I don't need a lot of people working with me.
Oh, there you go.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So it all worked out so beautifully. I never could have predicted COVID, but I'm so grateful for the way things went down in terms of how it affected my career.
And not only that, but 2020, while everyone was locked in to their homes, one real means of reaching out via social media was TikTok. And the year before exactly. is when you went viral. Can you tell yes. us a little bit about that experience? Because that was really cool when I read about that.
Yeah. Well, my sister has been interested in this world for a long time. And she said, you just need to share something every day on TikTok, just one little design tip. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. And she kind of challenged me, just do it for a month. So I did it for a month. And then we were like 2 or maybe 3 weeks in. And I texted her like, hey, should I be responding to all these comments? And she's like, yes, it's really important. You want to respond. You want to keep people engaged. And I was like, but there are like hundreds of them. And she was like, Ooh. What? She's like, are you sure?
So
like,
I didn't even know. Hundreds of comments per video, right?
Well, it was, yes, many videos, but there was one video that really took off, that really hit home with people. Yeah. And that's the one that I was like, I don't know if I can respond to all of them. And that was that moment of like, oh, wow, it went viral. But to your mm-hmm. point, that was just before COVID. So now all of a sudden people are in their homes and looking around thinking, what can I do? I can't leave. And using a lot of time on social media. And I was already poised for that market on TikTok.
And all of those videos were right there at their fingertips.
They were already there.
Ready to go in. And then all of a sudden, they can take that tip and then use it. And then take a look and see, oh, there's another tip. And there's another yeah. tip. And all of a sudden, a few days pass and they got the whole damn place. You're like, look, and completely, completely changed around. So.
And you know what I want all of our creators to know out there? You know, I did not set out to be a social media person. I made a lot of videos that month and I spent a lot of time on many of them. I mean, anyone who's ever done it knows it's not like as easy as it seems. It's a lot right. of work. You're setting things up, you're editing, you're spending hours upon hours doing it. The video that went viral was one that I spent the least amount of time on. And I could not have written this book if that video hadn't gone viral, mm-hmm. because I came to a point where I was like, okay, I have a lot of people following me and there's really no point in me making these videos anymore if I can't figure out a way to grow a business. Mm-hmm. I can't go to all their houses and design for them.
Yeah. And I've said something similar when it comes to writing, because it's a lot easier to make the changes before the book is published than it is to buy yes. a whole bunch of plane tickets. So that way you can stand behind the person reading it and say, well, what I really meant was this.
Yes, so exactly.
Do it for your wallet agree. If you won't do it for yourself.
So just what I want people to know is just be really open, because like I said, it was not how I set out to do it. It was mm-hmm. not the video that I thought, oh, this is a really good one. I spent a lot of time on this. Not at all. It was kind of, I remember I had just been on QVC that night. Mm-hmm. It was like 12:30 a.m. and I like to go to bed early, but I was like, I have to film this video for today. So what I'm trying to say is, if you're looking for a path to get to your creative, if you're looking for your road to creativity, be mm-hmm. open to all of those avenues, because you may be very surprised and just go with the flow. You might be very surprised. It might not be the thing that you thought was going to take you there. But then next thing you know, you're there.
Absolutely. And I can't think of a better exclamation point here. So where can my listeners find you on social media?
Well, please follow me on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube or all of those ones. My handle is at Barrickman Design. Now that last name is B-A-R-R. I-C-K-M-A-N, and then the word design. Mm-hmm. Also, I have something for anyone who's listening that's interested in working on a space. If they go to gallerywalltips.com, that's gallerywalltips.com, they can download an instant PDF for free. And it has a whole guide of how to install a gallery wall in their home. So go to gallerywalltips.com. You'll be able to download that. That will also link back to Berkman Design, where you can see social media and the book.
I love this. And I am so excited for my listeners to have heard this. And I really hope that all of you are taking Amy's words to heart. The road to creativity has many different exits. And you can always just get right back on that road once you either replenish yourself or find a different direction that works for you. Just keep going. Keep yourself open to any and all possibilities. And by all means, let the inspiration guide you to where you need to go. It may wind up being acting. It may wind up being designing. It may wind up being writing. Whatever the case, just allow yourself that time to move. And just like with your room, if something doesn't seem quite right to you, just go ahead and change it.
Absolutely.
And it's always better if you're able to plan out what it's going to look like before you go ahead and make that change. If you're really going to be diving into something really big, definitely go in with your eyes open. Definitely go in with a plan in mind. And if you're open to what life brings you, then the sky's the limit to what you can achieve. Absolutely.
Because you know best.
Absolutely have the confidence in your vision, because as I've said many times before, in these crazy times, the world needs your voice, the world needs your idea, the world needs you more than ever. So for Amy Berkman, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to heesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@heesgotit.com.